two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
KSL News Time, 5:45. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
Utah's population of women of childbearing age has more than doubled since the state started tracking abortion data in 1974. But the number of abortions performed annually has been steadily dropping since 1990. I'm KSL News Radio's Becky Bruce.
Second, Brian Laundrie's notebook has reportedly been released. In it, Laundrie confesses that his fiancée, Gabby Petito, suffered an accidental injury in Grand Teton. He says he killed her out of sympathy last summer. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot with Ricky Meese.
We still have a lot of lingering delays. Northbound I-15, even though we're seeing traffic moving again, is still bogged down. Northbound from Orem up to American Fork and southbound from Lehigh into Linden. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Plenty of sunshine today. The trend should hold right on through the weekend. I'm Kevin Eubank.
90 degrees downtown. Time for KSL's top national stories.
Two sides to the Supreme Court overturning of Roe versus Wade, ending the constitutional right to abortion. California Governor Gavin Newsom.
I'm grateful I'm here in California. I'm grateful I'm governor of California. I'm grateful I represent a state that's fighting for freedom, fighting for reproductive rights.
Trigger laws going into effect in some states since the ruling to immediately ban abortions, including Texas, where State Senator Brian Hughes wrote a bill last year that banned abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy.
We also put $100 million in the budget last year into the Alternatives to Abortion program for real tangible help for those moms.
Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall announcing that a federal court has lifted the injunction against the state's Human Life Protection Act. The head of the World Health Organization says he's concerned and disappointed about the Supreme Court decision, saying there was irrefutable evidence that restricting legal abortions can drive women and girls to unsafe and sometimes deadly procedures. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
More now on the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. Local OBGYN Lori Garin thinks overturning Roe v. Wade will disproportionately affect women in lower income levels and other marginalized women. She says with Utah's trigger laws, most people will not be able to get an abortion in the state, but some can travel out of state.
Even pre-Roe, the people with means were always able to access abortion care, and that will still be the case here. The people with the resources and the means will be able to fly to a state that can provide safe legal abortion. And those who struggle financially, those who have language barriers, those with mistrust around the healthcare system, in particular marginalized populations, people of color, they are going to be fearful of seeking care after a self-managed abortion too, because the not knowing the laws, they don't know if they would be criminalized in that setting. And so we're really concerned about our patients and maternal health. You know, we already are struggling with a maternal health crisis in this country, with, you know, the highest maternal mortality rate compared to other high income countries across the world. And this is only going to add to it. And we, you know, we have data internationally around this with countries that have made it illegal and watched maternal mortality increase. And again, it doesn't make abortion go away. It just makes it unsafe. This is taking a step back to an archaic time when we didn't value pregnant people and we let them die.
Jessica Sanders is a family planning researcher at the University of Utah and an OBGYN professor. She gave expert testimony when Utah's legislature was debating whether to pass the state's trigger law.
One of the comments that came up from a policymaker was that, you know, people who still need abortion will be able to go out of state. And I think just that the acknowledging that people will still need abortion and the like willingness to compromise and to create systemic inequity, I think just was really telling.
Utah's trigger law has not been implemented yet. The Utah State Senate must first review the Supreme Court's ruling to determine if Utah's law meets the requirements needed to take effect. Abortions in Utah will still be available until then.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.